You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
That is Pua Maliu by Liao, and we have Liao, aka David, in the studio. Morena.
Morena, whata alofa atu.
Hey, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing well, thank you. Thank you for having me on this morning.
Hey, it's lovely to have you up here. We were also just talking off air about space still, and you were saying you would go to space, but on one condition. What was your condition?
If the spacecraft or the futuristic Māori waka.
That would be mean. That would be very cool, paddling into space.
Yeah.
That would be sick. Yeah. We're not here to talk about space, though. We're here to talk about Mermgrown, which is happening tomorrow. A massive festival put on by Mermaidens. They've done one in Wellington, which looked awesome from what I saw online. And now they're bringing us a huge party up in Tamaki Makaurau. And you're playing, which is really cool to see. How are you feeling about that?
Yeah, feeling really excited and, like, you know, real stoked. I love playing at Whammy.
Yeah.
So being able to play at Whammy with such an amazing lineup, it's just a lot of good things happening.
Yeah, definitely. For people who need a refresher, other bands playing are Kane Strang, Mermaidens, of course, it's their party, Leaping Tiger, Phoebe Rings, KMTP, Louisa Nicklin, Samara Alofa, Ludus, Powernap, Charlie, OPI, Party Dad and Ezra. So it's going to be a big night, and that's across Whammy Bar, Wine Cellar and Backroom, so all the spots. And it's really, I think it's one of those things where there's going to be a little bit of everything, and you're playing nice and early on at 8:30. What are you going to be bringing to the stage, David?
Well, a lot of new, I guess, energy for the year.
Cool.
But also really excited to got something pretty special to open up the set, which I feel like sort of a recurring thing for the Leao sets. I always want to start off the set in a real unique way to compare to previous shows. So really excited for this.
Oh, cool. Okay, that sounds like very intriguing. I'm looking forward to seeing what that is. I always love the music that you put out and the performances that you do, A, because it looks like you're all having so much fun, and B, because it just feels really celebratory in the way that you're celebrating your language, you're celebrating your culture, and then blending it with just like surf rock goodness. What made you want to start making music like this? Did it feel like a very natural step for you, or did you sort of sit down and have a think about it?
I guess when I was proposed with the idea, I'm not too sure whether I mentioned this on air before, but I had, by the time I started working on the Leao project, I went to go pick up a Schofield Strangelove cassette from Larson, and at that point there were only two Noah record releases, and he was talking to me about how he was wanting to employ more Māori values and Māori musicality aspects into the music, and it sort of got me thinking. And that at that time, I was already working on this Samoan short film.
Oh, cool!
By Esther Munga, our father, and I was already looking at Samoan music. So I was like, I've already been making like indie pop music for like 3 years at that point. Mm. I was like, I wonder what it would be like if I added my own cultural lens to it. And yeah, it just made a lot of sense. And when the first song that I wrote was Vale Pa'ia. When I listened back to it after recording the vocals, I was like, I've found what I've been looking for a very long time.
It seems like you had a few right things happen at the right time to get you on that track. And as you just mentioned as well, Larson and the kind of Noah Records whānau have been really awesome in the last year, especially across like the kind of just chaos of 2020, for creating this wonderful space where music like this can exist. And it feels very much like you've all got your own projects, but it's all part of a big kind of ecosystem of music that's coming out. What is it like for you working with your friends in the sort of Noah Records umbrella?
I think the best way to describe it is just a lot of relational and shared feelings of, you know, camaraderie, but also just like really grounded in a kaupapa of like organic process, and also like touching into sort of deeper aspects of expression. And like last year, a lot of the projects sort of just happened. Which was real beautiful and sort of a lesson in sort of, you know, allowing things to occur organically and not trying to force these things.
Yeah.
Just working on inspiration. And for me personally, like, a lot of the sets that we did last year were like improv jazz sets. And like, my whole world up until last year was like punk and pop rock.
Yeah.
But now, you know.
Now you're a jazz musician as
well. Yeah, to be doing gigs where I'm like playing a bell for 40 minutes, like,
that's cool.
Yeah, like learning a lot about myself and music.
Yeah, I think that's what I always love about going to anything that's like related to Noah Records is you never know what you're going to get, but you know it's going to be good, and you know it's going to push you outside of not your comfort zone necessarily, but maybe your like realm of expectation for what you're going to get from a gig. I think a really good example of that is when you see Noah Records on like the lineup for Catacombs or something, and maybe the people going to have like a rave are walking into that space and then seeing what Noah Records is doing in there. And that's a pretty incredible, I think, experience for people to have. You sort of like surprise in the best way people with things that they might not necessarily know they needed to hear or wanted to hear, and come out feeling like they've got something out of it. What have been some of your favorite, I guess, live performance experiences of the last year?
That Catacombs one's probably a big one for me. Like, that was my first ever, I guess, improv performance with in front of like a massive crowd. And up in the during that week leading up to Catacombs, we were doing residency at Audio Foundation.
Yeah.
And that week was really integral to sort of, we just spent the whole time doing improv recordings and sort of just tapping into that, like, sort of energy of like, you know, I'm on stage with my instrument, I'm just playing to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting how just like being able to just play what I want, because that's what I wanted to play.
Yeah.
But then like, it matched up with what the other peeps were doing.
Yeah.
Like, yo, like, it's like everyone's own unique vibes are blending in at specific moments.
Yeah, totally. I want to go back to talking about with the Liao project, how you write these tracks. What is kind of like the starting point for you? Do you have a tune? Do you have lyrics? Where do you kind of come at the writing process for this?
Like, in terms of the music creating, I've always had a very sonic emphasis, so I always start with the instrumentals,
mm-hmm.
just because it always curates the sort of feeling that I'll then go on to end up writing about. And then in terms of the lyricism of the words, it's, I guess, mainly inspired by, like, the Samoan dialect is really metaphorical and very animistic and like metaphorical to nature.
Yeah.
So try and write to something that's deeply personal, but also like describe something like in the world.
Yeah.
And love writing about the ocean and the moon. So.
Yeah. I obviously don't speak Samoan, but I think the way that you perform and also the way that your stories are told, you get a sense of this, even if the language isn't there for all of the audience necessarily. You get a sense of these big ideas and these big metaphors, as you're saying, that you're kind of working with from the way that you all, I guess, are on stage and in the track as well. I think if people haven't seen you play live, you just have to go, because it's awesome, David.
Yeah, so may. I really love it when, like, my favorite Liao gig will probably be the one at Art Space.
Oh yeah,
that we did for Ari Jansen, and like what I love so much about that gig is that more than half the people who were at that gig didn't even realize a gig was happening.
Oh, that's awesome. That's really awesome, actually. Walk into an art space and people just take what's happening. They'll be like, yeah, this is art. Love it. And it is. We're going to listen to Musica Malie now. What can you tell us about this track? Because this is one I'm a big fan of.
I wrote a it's a cover. The original is by one of my inspiration then, big pop band in Samoa, the Five Stars. They recorded it in 1980, released 1981, 82. And then it was popularized in the 90s by Pacific Femme Trio? I think it's four, maybe Trio. Pacific Soul.
Cool.
So, you know, 20 years on since then, the new rendition.
Yeah.
And yeah, just sort of added my own sort of flavors of what I like about sound.
Yeah, totally. It's a nice genealogy coming through that music there, kind of touching on, as you say, people that have inspired you, but yeah, bringing that into your own practice too is awesome.
It's something I've been really, it's really, I found home in. I was watching like a documentary a while ago on Samoan music and talking about how the sort of culture of copyright is not really existent in Samoa, because the whole point is, you know, it's the Far Samoa culture is really grounded in sort of a sharing.
Yeah.
And to have someone, you know, use your song, you know, it's a really endearing form of love.
Yeah, yeah.
So like, I can't wait for someone to, you know, later down the line reinterpret my song.
That's so cool. Hey, Liao, David, thank you so much for coming in and chatting to us this morning. We'll see you at Mermgrown tomorrow night.
Yeah,
nice and early, 8:30, is that right?
Yes.
Sick. Yes. Come down as the doors open. It's going to be a good one. Thank you so much for coming in this morning.
Thank you for having me.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.